in this place. Someone has always said that as a Christian, there are aspects of our lives that we're constantly in a state of either we are, some of us are in the middle of a storm. Some of us are coming out of a storm. Some of us are headed into a storm. We don't know, for those of us who are in the storm, we can't wait to get out of it. And for those of us who are headed toward, when we say, Lord, not yet. But all in all, we know that God is a good God. When we sing those songs of praise, Lord, you're good to us, we sing those songs of praise because we know that we're not focused on our circumstances to determine whether God is good or not. God is good all by himself. And so as we've been going through the study of Mark following Jesus, we come to this point of this sermon where I've titled the sermon that Jesus is greater than your storm. I didn't say Jesus is greater than a storm or the storm. He's greater than your storm that you may be facing. Everyone has a different type of storm that they're facing. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ is greater than your storm that you're going through. So as we go through the Gospel of Mark, we come to a story where Mark is now highlighting, he's constantly drawing us into the person of Jesus Christ. He's constantly drawing us into who Jesus is. Because I said before, in order for you to really trust and follow someone, you must know who that person is. In order for you to stake your claim and to follow this person, you must trust in the person you're following. And it's important for us as Christians that when we say that we are leading people to follow Jesus Christ as your pastor, my responsibility is to strengthen your faith in Jesus Christ that you're able to follow him wherever he leads you. That you will trust him and you'll be confident, Lord, that wherever you lead me, I'm going to trust you. I believe in you. I'm confident that wherever you lead me, I'm going to be okay. And so as we come today about whether or not you're coming out of a storm, some of you are in the midst of a storm. Some of you are headed into a storm. The goal is to always be prepared for whatever comes your way. And so my key truth this morning is this, that when facing difficulties, we must remember that Jesus is in control and working in the midst of our trials to make us more like him. Now, I don't know about you, I have to encourage myself that I don't like bad weather. I don't like storms. Now, I grew up in rural Georgia, and whenever there was a storm, you know, my mother would always say, you know, when it started lightning and storm, she said, oh boy, God is upset. And she tell everybody, get somewhere and sit down. Turn all the lights off and don't nobody move. I mean, you got to sit in the dark and you got to be still. When the storm hits, hey, we shut it down. You know, so I never liked storms because storms is outside of you and you can't control the weather, right? You can't control these storms. And so even when it comes to being a Christian, I want to encourage you to let us know that because when you become a Christian, it doesn't mean that your life is void of storms. Now, in a real sense, for some of you, when you became a Christian, it seemed like the weather got rougher once you became a Christian. That before you was a Christian, everything was going fine. And then as soon as you became a Christian, all the storms come. The winds start blowing your way. And you might start thinking, well, what did I do to have this happen? Now, I want you to know that now there are some things in our life that we do that cause storms in our life. That's when we commit sin. The storm is a consequence of the sin we committed. But for everyone, there's a storm in your life. You did nothing to create the storm. It just happened. We call that life. Life just happens. A storm could be where you're going, you went to the doctor just for a routine checkup. And you go to the doctor, routine checkup, you're feeling fine, feeling okay. And they tell you, hey, we've seen some on the x-ray that don't look good. We think it might be the letter C. Cancer. That's a storm right there. Nobody wants to hear that. It's a storm. Now, what do you do now? You say, Lord, I can't. It's a good day outside, but there's a storm raging within my soul. But that's a storm. Some of you could you went to work, you're having a great day, you get ready to go to work on Monday, and the boss, as soon as you walk in, says, hey, I need to see you in my office. You already know what that means when you see on Monday morning, see you in the office? That can't be too good. And they tell you, we are downsizing. And I hate to do it, but your position came up to, we got to downsize. We letting this position go, and that means that we got to let you go. So this is going to be your last day with them. I hate to do it, but this is it. That's a storm, right? Amen. Storm in your life. Or another thing could be a storm coming to your life. You've been married for a while. You're loving God, loving your spouse. Things are going well. Then you come home from work, and one day the house is kind of dim and dark. And they say, can we talk? And, hey, I just don't feel the same anymore. The thrill is gone. And I've decided to go my own way. It's a storm. What do you do when you get that? Storm in your life. Or it could be you get that phone call in the middle of the night. You got kids out there. You get that phone call in the middle of the night, and I need to tell you, there's been a bad accident. And it don't look too good. As a parent, boy, you don't want to hear that, do you? That something happened to your baby. That's a storm. What do you do when you hear that? That's a difficult time. And I want you to know that many Christians who love God have had them phone calls, had those conversations, has had those doctor's appointments. What do you do? That's a difficult situation. And in no time when you hear that news, you must remember that Jesus is still in control. That he's still in control. And that he's still working in the midst of that to make us more like him. Isn't that deep when you go through that? So here in this story, Jesus is, he's been preaching, he's been teaching, he's been talking in parables, he's been discipling his disciples, he's been telling them about the kingdom of God, and so they've been learning from him, they've been walking with him, maybe it's been like a year, they've been walking with Jesus in an intimate way, and then Jesus says, hey, let's go and cross to the other side. Now I want you to know that his disciples, he's talking to disciples, some of them are fishermen by trade. So to say that we're going to the other side would be like me saying, hey, let's just take a ride up the coast. I mean, simple. You just get in the boat and take a ride. I mean, you got fishermen. They know, they've been in boat. They know how to navigate waters. Hey, this is seem like a routine, trip. Let's just go across to the other side. Okay, no problem, Jesus. We're going to get in the boat, go across to the other side, and we're going to make it over. But then in verse 37, it says, a great windstorm arose. And the waves were breaking to the boat so that the boat was already filling. Man. On a normal routine day, all of a sudden it says a great windstorm arose. There was no weather forecast to say, hey, it's going to be rough seas today. It just happened. And I call that, some of you have heard me call that, I call that what I call the pop quiz. That's the storms of life. Pop quiz. You know when you was in school and you was in class, maybe not paying attention to the teacher, and you come in and she say, okay, take out a sheet of paper, we're going to have a pop quiz, and everybody say, oh, really? You ever had that happen to you? Well, it's kind of like this, you know, it's kind of like coming to church and you hear the pastor's preaching, someone's preaching, you hear the sermon and you amen it, and you know, you kind of get used to the amen and you start saying it, and then all of a sudden, life hits you, there's a pop quiz. You say, oh, I wish I'd have, what was that pastor saying about that story? I wish I'd have been paying attention that Sunday. Because God always gives tests. You know what, but the good thing about God, he always gives open book tests. You got to open the Bible. He always gives open book tests. You mean you just got to open the book, and the answer is right there. You got to just find it. He always gives open book tests. But it's a pop quiz. You wasn't planning on it. That's just the storms of life that come your way. Now what do you do? See, my point one is this, that Jesus Christ allows pop quizzes in this thing called life just to see if you were paying attention to his teachings. See, we are disciples. We are an apprentice, we are a learner, and we are a follower of Jesus. And that's why I want you to understand, beloved, hear me out here. As a Christian, Jesus did more teaching than preaching. He did more explaining the word of God. And you, as a Christian, want to be taught the word of God. You need to be discipled and taught what it means to follow Jesus Christ. What does it mean to go through life with Jesus? Because there are storms that are coming. So the question for you and I is to ask ourselves, when we come to church, are we paying attention to what we're being taught? Are we, remember what Jesus said last, I said last week, he said, pay attention to how you hear. Because with the measure you use, it be measured back to you. Pay attention to how you listen to the word of God. That's why I tell people all the time, when you come to church, you better come with the right heart and the right spirit. If you come in here with a critical spirit, a judgmental spirit, and you leave out of here and you miss what has been said to you, pop quiz is coming. And you wonder, why do I keep failing the test? Well, I don't know why you keep failing. Are you paying attention to what Jesus is saying? The word of God has every answer to the question of your facing in life. Do you know that? Do you believe that? You know, and we have to be careful. I mean, you know, because we say that, you know, it happens just like that. Someone can make you mad, and before you know it, you said this. And then he actually said, man, why did I say that? It was a pop quiz. You know, we talk about loving one another, forgiving one another, being patient with one another. See, those don't come a reality in your life until you have to pass the test. See, you already know what it means to forgive no one until someone offends you. That's when you know whether you're more like Jesus. When someone offends you, can you forgive like Jesus? Hello? That's when you know, man, I've grown. I can really let that, I don't have to be mad at people anymore. I can forgive that person and keep it moving. That's more like Jesus. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24? Here's what he says. He says, everyone then who hears these words of mine, and now he says, you got to hear them. That's one part. But the part that most of us miss is, does them. The one who hears the words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The foundation is the word of God. Amen. Every church needs to be built on the foundation of the word of God. Not on the hearing, but on the doing. And look what he says. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall. Why? Because it had been founded on the rock. The house was founded on the great foundation, the rock. Then he says, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now think about these houses. What was the only difference about those houses? Was it the weather? No, they all faced the same type of weather. What was it about those houses? The foundation. The foundation. So what I tell people is that all of us go through the same type of issues in our life. And the question for you and I is based on our foundation. How does this person go through this and still remain with God? That person go through it and they fall away from God. The FBI can't even find them. How does this person go through the same thing and they run to God? They continue to serve God. This person goes through that and they fall away from God. You can't find them. What is it? What is the issue? The foundation, what their life is built upon. Those who hear and obey fight those that hear and do nothing with it. Because believe it, as long as you keep living, there is going to be some storms that are going to come and beat upon your house. And the question is that when it comes, will you be standing on the word of God? Jesus says, pop quiz, that phone call, that job, that marriage issue, that child issue, it's coming. How are you going to respond to the storm in your life? It all depends on what you believe about Jesus and his word. and believing that Jesus is greater than your storm. See, and this story of Mark, the emphasis of the story is on the person of Jesus Christ, not the storm. And I want you to understand that your storm is a true storm, but the emphasis that you need to focus on is Jesus. In other words, that you need to evaluate your circumstance first based upon who Jesus is, and understand that your circumstance is no bigger or deeper than Jesus, more powerful. And the problem with most of us, we get so focused upon our storm that we can't see Jesus. But if we focus more on Jesus than our storm, then guess what? We believe that Jesus is greater than anything we face. Then we can believe that God says that we know that all things work together for good for those who what? Love God and according to his purpose. Called according to his purpose. We know that God works all things. All, not some things, all things. See, if you are a child of God and you believe in God, that God is present in your life and God is working not only in you, but outside of you to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. That God wants you to be look more and act like Jesus. Do you know that? That God wants you to act like and live like Jesus Christ. In every circumstance that you're dealing with, you are to respond as Jesus would to your circumstance. Now that brings me to this point. There was a storm that was raging, right? And it said the storm was raging, and they were, and it said, now look what it says, that the storm was so bad that it said that it was breaking into the boat. Meaning that the water was coming out into the boat. The waves were coming into the boat and water was filling, and people were panicking except one person. Where was Jesus at during this storm? Look what it says. It says, but he was in the stern. Not only in the storm, he was asleep on a cushion. How can you sleep in the midst of all this? I mean, it is raging, and Jesus is up there snoring. Well, no, he's not. No, he's holy. He wasn't snoring. He would just sleep. Jesus don't snore. That's for us sinful people. He don't snore. But he was asleep. And some of y'all are very sinful. I heard some of y'all sleep. Y'all can snore up or something. But he was in the stern asleep on the cushion. Now think about that. The storm did not affect Jesus the way it affected them. They couldn't sleep. He was asleep. Then you think, wait a minute now, how can he be asleep? It's rocking. And I don't know about you, but some of us who've been on a ship, I've been on a ship. Deacon, you been on a ship before? Some of us, you know, we got our sea legs, you know, been in the Navy, you've been on a ship. I mean, it's rough on that bad boy. I mean, when it starts to rocking and carrying on, you're like, man, there's no sleep. You don't. It's just hard to sleep. It's rolling and rocking. You can't get comfortable. Jesus was comfortable. He was asleep. Right now, Jesus is not fazed the way you are about your struggle. Why? Because he's all-powerful. He's greater than your storm. Amen. And look what they did. They said, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? They asked Jesus about his love for them. Jesus, do you not care that we're about to die? They decided we are getting ready to die and you are asleep. Do you not care? They almost are like, Jesus, your attitude is if you don't care. Well, no, Jesus was like, wait, now he would think to himself, well, how can you die with me in the boat? Think about it. I mean, he the one said, let us go and cross to the other side, right? And if he's in the boat with us, we're not going to die. But at this point, they're looking at what? Their circumstances more than they're looking at Jesus. And they think their circumstances is bigger. And when they see Jesus, he looks pretty small compared to that storm because he's over there asleep. He's on a cushion taking a nap in the midst of this. Has anybody ever thought to themselves when you're going through something, have you ever questioned the love of God? The concern of God. Now I know in this room you're going to say, no, that's the Christian thing. Oh no, I've never questioned the love of God. But if you wasn't in this room, what would you say? Yeah, that's me. I've kind of questioned. Lord, do you care that these bills are due? Do you care that this is that? Do you care that I'm going through this sickness, this suffering? Do you care that this is happening in my life? See, we were taught a long time ago, well, you know, you never question God. Well, you see right here, they questioning God. Hey. And I always tell people, well, it's okay to question God. God is not so small that he gets upset with your question. He's so big he can handle your questions. God is not petty like we are. Oh, why are you questioning me? No, he's okay with that. If it's coming from a genuine place of concern, Lord, why is this happening to me? So they asked him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and he rebuked them. No, he didn't rebuke them, did he? They asked a question, but he rebuked the wind and the sea and said, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Can you imagine being there on that storm? On that sea and this happening, and Jesus stands up and speaks a word, and all of a sudden he gets calm. That's what Jesus can do in your storm. Just speak a word. See, the emphasis once again is on the person of Jesus Christ, not the storm, because they asked in verse 41, they asked a question, who then is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. And Mark is trying to draw it. He's trying to answer that question that they're asking. Who is this? This is Jesus. He is Jesus. He's all powerful. He is God. He's the Savior. He's the Deliverer. He is God and he's good. He can handle everything you're going through right now, brother. He can deal with that, what you're dealing with. Once you understand and believe, who is Jesus? See, the question for you and I, everyone in here, you got to ask yourself, who is Jesus to me? Is he all powerful or not? Is he more powerful than the situation I'm dealing with at this very moment? And once you answer that question, that determines your actions. See, Jesus said to the sea, peace be still. And I believe right now, God wants to speak to some of you, and he wants to say to you, peace be still. See, God wants to give you peace. And see, I want you to know this right now. I want the peace of God. Because the peace God gives you, says the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. See, there's some peace that you can have when the doctor has told you, man, this doesn't look good, and you walk out singing Amazing Grace, how great this song. I say, why are you at peace? Because I have the peace of God. You just told me this bad news, but I understand I'm looking at Jesus, not my storm. That's right. And he's told me, peace, be still. Right. Some of you need to have some peace in your life right now. Some of you don't have peace in your life. And I want you to understand something. There is a blessing that God gives his children, and it's called peace. God has given you the right to have peace in your life. That is a blessing, that is a gift from God. It's called peace. In the midst of a storm, Jesus rebuked the wind and the sea and said, peace, be still. See, God is a creator and his creation obeys him. Jesus Christ is the creator and his creation obeys him. Everything has to bow at the words of Jesus. Anybody going through a pop quiz, a storm in your life right now? Anybody say, man, I'm hoping I aced this test. Boy, I'm hoping. Hey, it's open book though, brothers and sisters. It's open book. Just open the book up. And you will find the answer to life's storm. Just open the book. And have God speak a word in the midst of what you're going through. Then he asked him a question in verse 40. They asked him a question. Remember, they said, teacher, do you not care? Then in verse 40, he asked him a question. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Now, at this point, I believe Jesus is saying, by this time, at this point and stage in our relationship, you should have come to know who I am, and you shouldn't be so afraid of this storm because I'm with you. He's asking them, why are you, have you still no faith? In other words, he says, by this time, your faith should have matured by now. By this time in our relationship, you should be able to handle this because I'm with you. And the question he's saying to them, they still got some maturation to do, some maturing to do. And so in our life, sometimes God says to us, are you still having no faith when it comes to that issue? You still haven't matured in that situation? See, some of us, we have matured in an area because we keep what? Failing the test. We keep failing the test. Why am I always so unforgiving? I'm so impatient. Not because God's word don't have a word for me. I keep failing the test. And God put you in a situation, a pop quiz, so you can what? Be more like what? Jesus, because you've been paying attention and now you're able to pass the test. And now he said, okay, you graduated. You can move on to the next thing in life. Anybody ever feel stuck spiritually? It's like, I'm constantly stuck in this storm. I constantly keep going in this. Why is, the question is, how are you responding? Have you still no faith? There come a time in our life that God wants us to mature. And there come a time in God's life that he will lead you into a storm. That he himself will lead you. He is leading you that way because he knows the weather. He's leading you there. And you're saying, God, why didn't we take a detour? No, he said, we got to go through this one. We got to go through this storm. And when you go through it, two things happen. Your faith is stronger and your love for God is deeper. See, that's why some people, they come in, they start shouting as soon as the band spark up. They start, oh, hallelujah. He said, why are you shouting so much? They need to hit a corner, you already shout. That person has been through a lot of storm that came out of them. That person has been through something and they know what God can do and will do. They just shout, they're just ready to go. That's when you've been through a storm. That's when you know, I showed. See, some of us have learned about God, but some of us have experienced God. There's a big difference now. So you can study all you want to. I can study. I'm studying my Bible. That's great. But when the pop quiz comes, we're going to see how good a study has been going for you. See, I've experienced God in storms. And I know not just on the pages of what the books say, in my soul, in my spirit, I know what God can do. I know that God can heal somebody. I know God can deliver. I know God can put food on the table. Why? I've experienced God. Anybody experience God? Amen. So when the doctor tells you, oh, this is bad news, no, I know what God can do. And I've already experienced God in the midst of this. As the song says, it said today, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Then it says, I will do what? I will trust in you. Then it says, I'm going to wait on you. See, some of us learn how to trust and we learn to wait till help comes. Amen? Some of us won't, we so impatient, we won't wait on God to do something. God is working, and you gotta wait. And while you wait, what do? While you're waiting? You keep praising, you keep worshiping God while you're waiting. Because he may not come when you want to, but he's always what? Always on time. He's always on time. And some of us leave too soon and miss the blessings of God. Just wait on the Lord. So you say, well, Pastor, I want to pass this test. I mean, I want to pass this stuff. Well, okay, I'm going to help you. How to make sure you pass the test. This is going to help you pass the test, and it's free. I ain't going to charge you any money for this. This is going to be free. You're going to pass this test. I'm giving you, this is free information I'm giving out to you. The first thing you must understand in order to pass it, make sure you pass the test, is this. If Jesus said it, you must believe it. They say, well, man, that's simple, but it's simple yet profound. Yeah. Whose idea was it to cross over to the other side? It was Jesus. He the one said it, right? Look again. Now he says in verse 35, let us go across to the other side. Jesus said that. Now I want you to know that if Jesus said it, you must believe it. If he said we're going to the other side, guess what? We're going to the other side now. We may get there wet, a little wobbly, but we're going to get to the other side. Amen? We're going to get to the destination that God has for me. And I want you to understand this right now, believe it. If God has given you a destiny, you are going to get there. You must believe God. If he said it, if God's giving you a promise, you better hold on to it. You better wait for it. If he said it, you must believe it. And I believe everything that God has said about me in his word and what he said to me personally, it will come to pass. I believe it even if you don't. Because he said it to me. I've experienced God. And if he said it, you must believe it. Trust him. That's why, once again, you got to get into the word. And have God speak to your situation. Amen? And sometimes you believe God even when it don't look like you have every reason to doubt God. Everybody else thinks you're crazy. Are you still holding on to your faith? Why would you do that? Because I believe God. He said it, and I believe it. And that settles it. Amen? Jesus said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And I'm going to get me some sleep. Now, Jesus did sleep while he was here on earth. He was a human, he slept. But the good news is now, Jesus no longer sleeps while he's in heaven. The Bible says God never slumbers nor what? Sleeps. Since he doesn't sleep, you might as well. Amen? Since he doesn't sleep, you should go to sleep and get you some rest. Because Jesus is built for the storm that's coming into your life. Matter of fact, you built for this too. You're in the ark of safety. You are in Jesus. What has Jesus said to you? And do you believe him? Not just circumstances. Do you believe what Jesus said? Second thing is, don't focus on the storms in your life. Trust in the presence of Jesus Christ. I love what David says. He says that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Wow, David says that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not even afraid. Because God is with me. And when God's presence is in your life, why should you be afraid? Whom should I fear? What should I be afraid of if God is with me? Whom should I fear? Or what should I fear? If God is for you, who can be what? Against you. Don't focus on your storm. Focus on the presence of Jesus Christ. We must always practice the presence of Jesus Christ. There is nothing that will come into your life, hear me out, without it first passing through the sovereign hands of Jesus. Amen. You may be surprised, but Jesus isn't. That's right. He's never shocked. He's never in heaven saying, Father, I know this won't happen to so-and-so. No, he says, we understand. I'm working. I'm working this out for their good and for my glory. And God does not finish working on us until we look more and more like Jesus every day. Have you still no faith? By this time now, you should be able to handle that. And what I mean by that, hear me out, beloved. This is not to make nobody feel bad. I'm saying we want to disciple you and teach you that when storms come, you still going to serve God and praise him. Seriously. That you can serve God so much that people don't even know you're going through stuff because you say, hey, I have no fear. I praise God. Amen. You know what I mean? It's important that we don't know what people are going through right here in this midst in our church right now. There are brothers and sisters right now who are going through a storm that you don't want that on your worst day. But you can't tell it. They're still serving. They're still praising God. You say, man, how can they? Because they love God. They know that, hey, I have no fear. Why? Because the foundation now has been built on who? Jesus. And they're not afraid. Now, there's some of us, we get into a storm and we shut it down. It's a wrap. Don't call me, I won't call you. I'm not able, I'm in a bad place. Don't I tell people, what do you do when you're waiting on God? You worship and you praise God. You don't sit soaking sour. You keep on praising God and keep doing what you've been doing. As the Lord, as Ezekiel and the prophet Ezekiel, it's a powerful story that happened to Ezekiel. His wife dies. His wife dies. And God tells him to get up the next day and go prophesy. Now, Ezekiel said, Lord, don't you see I'm going through a terrible time here? God said, yeah, but I already worked that out. You need to go prophesy. He said, in the morning, I did as I was commanded. That's what I'm talking about now. You can praise God. The people have people who are loved ones in the hospital, and they're still serving God. I think about Miss Mamie's daughter. Her son is in the hospital. She here ushering, praising God. He said, well, why would she do that? Because I don't have any fear. Jesus said, I believe. You think about it. I see Brother Mike. He going through something in his life. Still serving God, still praising God, still ushering, still serving. He had everything. You say, hey, Pastor, I'm going through something. I'm not going to be available until I'm out of this. No, I'm going to keep praising God. Why? Because my trust is in God. That means he's been discipled. She's been discipled. Hey, we keep trusting God in the midst of what we're going through. We don't quit on God or our church. We keep pressing forward. There are people in this church right now who are singing and praising God, and they're sick in their body and still singing and praising God. You couldn't tell it. Why? Because they love God and love God's people. See, there's never ever an excuse for us to quit on God and to quit on God's people. There's never. God's been too good to me. I'm always praising him. I'm going to trust him. That's what God's done for me. I don't know about you, but for me, he's been too good for me. That's why I can praise him and trust. That's why that time when my mother-in-law was sick and dying, I was still preaching every Sunday. My wife's still praising God. Her mother in the hospital. We passing by the hospital. Her mother and they're dying. We passing by the hospital, coming to church to preach and to praise God because God had her in his hand. We trusting God with that. Many folks would have shut down and quit. Hey, I'm done. Don't see me until it's over. No, we're going to keep praising God because we believe in God. And he's going to work this thing out. One way or the other, he's going to work it out. So how do you pass his test? And also, you feed your faith and store up your doubts. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. See, instead of having some COVID weight, read some COVID faith. You know, we'd be eating his word up. See, one thing that COVID has done, it exposed some of us. We stopped eating less words, started eating more food. And the weight started what? Wearing us down. And then when storms happen in our life, we can't get around because we stopped reading. We stopped getting to the word of God. We stopped waiting. We stopped getting to the word of God. And now when things storm come, we can't handle it. See, the pandemic should have drawn us farther into the word of God. We should have been feeding our faith. So we said, hey, we're going to get out. We're going to get through this. This too shall pass. But when it passes, my faith is going to be stronger in God. It won't be weaker. See, how do you feed your faith? You get into the word of God. You get into God's word. You open the book up. And you read what God says about your situation. And whatever Jesus says, you believe it, and that settles it. If God told you you're going to be healed, believe it. That's it. If God said, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you, believe it. And trust God. Feed your faith and starve your doubt. I always tell my wife this, faith comes by hearing, so does doubt. Here's what I mean by that. Some of us have talked ourselves into defeat by what we say. I'm never going to get out of this. I can never forgive so-and-so. I can never. We talking those negative words. I'm like, does the word of God say what you say? Well, start saying what God says about you. I'm more than a conqueror. By his stripes, we are here. You know what I mean? You start getting to the word of God of what you said about, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Start speaking God's word over your situation. Guess what? The more you speak it and you hear it, you begin to trust God more. You ever met some negative people? They constantly talking negative. The words out of their mouth is always death. It's never life. And some of us have spoke death in our own situation, our own relationship. We won't speak life into. Oh, it's just that bad. Man, can you speak some life into that situation? Can you do what you know? Can you prophesy to the wind? Peace be still. And you wonder why this is dying, because you're speaking death into it. Feed your faith and starve your doubt. Oh, this would never work out for me. Does God's word say that? Or did what you say? Some of you have believed yourself over God. I would never be happy. I would never be. That's not what God says about you. God loves you. He cares for you. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. Believe that about yourself. That's not, listen, it's not boastful if, you know, I tell people, it's not boastful if it's true. No, seriously. It's not boastful if it's true. If God says that I'm the righteousness of Christ, I'm not boasting. That's true. If God says I'm forgiven, I'm not, that's true. I'm believing the truth about what God says about me. I'm not boasting. I'm just speaking the truth of what God says about me and about us. Not only this, they were afraid, right? Point four is this: God wants you to fear him over your circumstances. God wants you to fear him over your circumstances. Now look what it says in verse 41. They were afraid, fearful over the storm. Jesus spoke to the storm, and in verse 41 it says this: and they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So they were no longer afraid of the storm. Why? Because Jesus already calmed the storm. Now he's speaking to them, and it says they were filled with great fear. Who are they afraid of now? Jesus. Who is it? Who is this guy? Here's what Jesus is saying. I thought by now you would have already answered that question. I thought by now I would have already answered the question that you're now asking. So he knew that they had not settled in their heart who he was. So he took them through a storm. See, for some of you, God is allowing you to go through a storm because you've not settled in your heart who he is. You fully don't believe him. You fully don't trust him. He said, okay, until you fully trust me, let's go to this storm. Let's go to the other side. But hoping that as you go to the other side, you mature as you're going through the storm. And some of us have not matured, and we're going through the storm. And we keep wondering, why I keep going through this storm? Because you haven't matured. You don't believe Jesus. Is anyone in here? Hello, can you hear me? Okay, I was making sure I got quiet. Man. Hello, anybody in here? Okay. Got it. Man, y'all got quiet on me. That hit for some of y'all, like, man, you mean I'm in a storm because I keep this open? I'm not saying it's everybody. I'm just saying, think about that. Who is Jesus to you? Who is he? That even the winds and the sea obey him. The question is, do you obey him? See, God wants you to fear him over your circumstances. Do not fear. Over and over again, God says what? Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. See, fear of God leads to what? Trust and obedience. When I fear God over my circumstances, I'm going to obey God and not my circumstances. See, many of us have obeyed our circumstances. We haven't obeyed God. But see, fear of God leads to trust and obedience to God. Look what it says in Proverbs 1, verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. What is wisdom? The application of knowledge in the midst of a situation. You need the wisdom of God in your circumstance. Do you fear God? Do you really fear God? If you fear God, you're going to trust him. And you're going to obey him. Now, many of us, when we say we have faith in God, but we don't really fear God. Fear God means the fact that I'm going to do what God says because I trust him. And I know if I don't do what he says, it's going to be worse for me. We got to trust God. We got to get people to trust God and obey God. See, obedience too, that's one word that we adults don't like to hear. We don't like the word obedience. We don't like obeying nobody. Because we say, I'm grown. I don't need to obey nobody. Well, no, Jesus wants you to obey him. It doesn't matter how much you sing, how much you preach, how much you study the Bible, how much you share your faith if you don't obey Jesus when he tells you to do something. It doesn't matter. If you want to obey Jesus when he tells you to do, you're not mature. I've seen Christians want to obey Jesus. Well, I know what Jesus says, but there ain't no but in that. He said it, I must believe it, and that settles it. Yeah, I know what Jesus says, but this is the way I am. No, we used to be. That old person is dead. That's why the Bible said what? Crucify the flesh with its evil desires. There are many people that won't believe Jesus, obey Jesus in the midst of relationships. They won't believe him. It's a horrible relationship, and you want to obey Jesus and do what Jesus told you to do. Because he said, well, if they don't do it, I ain't going to do it. Well, it don't matter what they do. I want to be pleasing to Jesus. I'm going to be loving in the midst of being attacked or unloved. Why? Because I want to obey Jesus. We want to obey Jesus. I've seen many marriages get destroyed like that. One person won't obey Jesus. I'm not gonna do what Jesus tells me to do because I don't appreciate how they talking to me. Okay. As much as it depends upon you, do what? Live at peace with who? All people. Especially your spouse. Why am I going through this storm? Maybe because I want to obey Jesus. Also, understand that Jesus doesn't deliver us from storms, but through storms. Now, could he have taken him around this storm? But he needed them to go through the storm. His goal was to deliver them through the storm, not from the storm. Now, how many of you, I would love for Jesus to deliver me from the storm. That's just me, I'm being honest with you. God deliver me from the storm, I'm going to be honest. But he said, no, you got to go through this. But I'm going to deliver you through the storm. So when the storms are raging in your life, you won't have any fear anymore. You'll be at peace. And you start telling everybody else, it's going to be okay. I'm fine. Have you ever been through something before and you going through it and you got to comfort the people that are not going through it? You got to tell, it's going to be okay. Everything okay? I'm okay. You sure you're okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I had to comfort folks. I'm going through something. I got to comfort them while I'm going through it. It's going to be okay, God. Everything okay. We all right. You wind up counseling them. I feel so much better now. I'm glad you do, but I'm going through it, but you feel better. I'm the one laid up in the hospital. I got to comfort you. But that means I would rather give comfort to people. Because God comforts us so we can comfort what? Other people. And when you've been through a storm and you've been delivered through a storm, you can look at people who are going through, you can tell them, it's going to be okay. Hold on to Jesus, unchanging hands. You're going to be okay. Because God is he is the captain of the ship and he's never lost a passenger. He never lost nobody out at sea. Trust him with your life. You may be saying, Pastor, you don't understand my situation. The waves are above my head. I want you to understand what's over your head is still under Jesus' feet. You know, Jesus can walk on water, don't you? You know, he can walk on water. And you know, you can too if you trust Jesus. He said, wait a minute now. You mean I can walk on what Peter did? Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. He said, come on, take a walk with me. And keep your eyes, there you go, keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on Jesus and you won't sink in despair. Not only this, last one, trust in the power and authority of Jesus Christ to calm every storm raging in your life. I don't know what you're going through, but I can guarantee you right now, in this room right now, some of you are going through a storm. Some of you are coming out of one. And some of you are getting ready to enter into one. And the question you need to ask yourself, am I paying attention to what's being said? Because the storm is coming. It's like the movie, I actually watched this Terminator movies. Terminator. And in one movie she said, oh, the storm is on the horizon. She saw it, it's coming. Storm is on the, I thought, hey, the storm is on the horizon. Bad weather's on the way. But don't be in despair. God got us. We're in the boat with Jesus. Grab your cushion. Grab your cushion and take a nap. You might get a little wet, but you're going to reach your destination. Grab a cushion and take a nap. Amen? You're going to reach the destination that God has for you. And I believe that in all my heart. Why? Because I've been there. I know what God has done for me. I know what God has delivered me and my wife through and our children through. I know what we've been through in life. I know what he's done for us. I know. No one can tell me. I know what he's done. I've experienced God in the midst of a storm. I've experienced him. I've walked with him. I've questioned God. But he has never failed me yet. And he won't start now. So how do we take it beyond the walls? How do we live this out? No. That God is constantly working for our spiritual good, even in the midst of trials and difficulties. Ask God to help us testify of his goodness and mercy as we face the storms of life.